Okay, we once again turn to the book of Luke. We're following the path of the Apostle Peter. I want to thank you all for allowing Kathy and I to take a little break around here. As you noticed last week, the lawns weren't mowed, but they are this week. We're back on track. Kathy got out there and did it. She did. Her and Sue actually mowed the lawns up last week, and I'm so thankful that they were able to do that. It really gave me the time to consider and think about what I was going to preach this morning. But we're back on track. We're back on the path that the Apostle Peter is taking as he makes his way to the point where he writes his two epistles. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior as he goes. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As all of God's chosen people are, we are taught of God. Peter was in the presence of the Almighty and learning from him. Christ was preaching Christ. That's what this book is all about. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit teaching his children about himself. There are many in the world today who could read this book far better than I can. Pronounce every one of those names that I can hardly pronounce. Remember it by heart and quote to you scriptures without ever even looking into scriptures. But just as many of those don't have any idea what the true meaning of the word is. They look right over the past and past the sovereignty of God in those scriptures, and all they see are ways for themselves to work their way to heaven. We must be taught of God. We must be taught by the Spirit the things of Christ. Peter was in the presence of the Almighty. He was learning of him from him. We may not be in his physical presence, but we have his word and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one who speaks to the hearts of men, and he speaks of Christ. In our last study a couple of weeks back, the prophecy of Peter's denial came true. And as it is in everything, God's word is true and sure. When the Lord told the disciples to go into town, that a man carrying a pitcher of water would be there, that man carrying the pitcher of water was there. Why is it important for me to point this out to you? Because our Lord says to you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you think he'll ever leave us or forsake us? No. No matter what's going on around us in the world, and we have some pretty big troubles. Some of us have lost some loved ones. Some of us are going through trials with disease. Some of us are sitting in a hospital this very day with those that they love, watching them dwindle away. The seas wash over our heads every day in some of our lives, folks. And we've all been there at one point or another where the waves have come over the top of us. But we have something to trust in. A surety. God Almighty in the flesh, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can't have more surety than that. God's word is true. If he declared it, it will come true. Who can thwart the word of God? Look at verses 54 through 62 with me once again of Luke chapter 22. And then took they him, speaking of them, that the religious people, they took our Lord and Savior and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Not right alongside of him, but afar off. Can you picture in your mind a group of men? They've got this man we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all ganged around him, probably treating him pretty rough. They treated him pretty rough a little bit later, so we can assume that they were treating him pretty rough the whole way. And here is Peter, the very man who laid his head on the breast of Jesus, who loved him with everything he had, following way back over there, afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down where? Among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man, this one right here, was also with him, was with the one that we're crucifying, the one that we're arresting. He was with him. He was part of the group. And he, Peter, denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also them of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. This very one who couldn't keep his eyes open just a little while ago when the Lord said, sit with me. Sit with me in my trials when the sins of all his people were laid upon him. Our Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. That's hard to read that, isn't it? Is it hard for you to read that and not feel that very same thing in ourselves? The story of Peter's fall teaches us that the grace that God bestows upon us must be made effectual by God's Spirit. And what I mean by that is this: God uses outward means to bless many. We call them carnal blessings. Blessings of the world. Look at the blessings that we have in this country we live in. Talk to Lance Heller for just a moment about the jungles of Papua New Guinea. And you can't help but see the wonderful, wonderful blessings that we have here. And our Lord uses these means to bless many, but the means are meaningless without the blessings of God upon them and the work of His Spirit by them. Many read God's Word but are not blessed unless the Spirit of God does a work in their hearts with it. I said a moment ago, there are many who know this Word better than I do. Nobody probably knows the Word better than the Pope. But he does not know God. It is equally important for us to understand that no past experience will secure our souls from present evil. Don't ever fall into that trap of sitting there saying, you know what, I used to do this and I don't do this anymore, and then go on through your life not worrying that you won't go back to it. Just because we went through a sin for a time and the Lord healed us and got us through that sin doesn't mean we can't go through it again if we have to learn the same lesson or another that the Lord leads us to learn. Folks, this is the flesh. And it will always be flesh until it returns to dust. And we will fight this battle of sin throughout the entire time that God gives us on this earth. That's all there is to it. It doesn't get any better. The only thing that makes it better is we know who paid the price for us.
Amen.
We have been given the hearts to see and hear the Word of God of truth. We put our trust in Him, not in this flesh. And I'm preaching to myself here more than anything, because I know how easy it is to fall back into a sin that you didn't have before. or that you had given up, or that you thought you gave up. And you ask my wife, she can tell you all about a time when John Reeves got all angry just recently about a man who cut him off on the freeway. Lord, help me not to do that, but why do I do it all over again next week? See, Peter was an apostle of Christ, yet he fell. Think about that. Is Peter any better than you and I? No. We put people up on a pedestal at times. Look what the Catholic Church has done with Peter. They put him up on this huge pedestal and made him bigger to be anything than he ever was. He was just a man saved by grace as you and I are. Peter had seen and performed great miracles. Think about how that must have been to go through his mind. Woo! Wow, did you see what the Lord did today in me? Did you see how great that was? He did wonderful, great miracles, yet he fell. Peter once walked on water. Imagine what that must have been like. Yet he fell. Peter had seen with his own two eyes the transfigured Christ. Whew. He had seen the Lord in his glory. Yet he fell. Peter had just heard the greatest sermon ever preached. He sat at the Lord's table with the Lord, and the Lord told him, I am about to go where I came here to go, to pay the price for you, my children. Yet Peter fell. Our Lord spoke to him personally. Yet he fell. And Peter heard the cock crow, reminding him of the Savior's words, the very warning that he had, and yet he fell. Peter had been given all these distinguishing mercies. He had been forewarned as he was by Christ, and he not only denied Christ, but he persisted in the denial through the first crowing of the cock, even though it told him of his treachery. And still he went on in his wickedness, fully aware of what he was doing. How often you and I read in the Word of God or hear it preached, hearing the very voice of God speak to our hearts as Peter did when he had heard the cock crowing in the early hour of the morning, and totally ignore his voice. Folks, I'm telling you, we will never heed except that the Lord graciously cause us to hear it. Just as he caused Peter to hear the second crowing of the cock. Brother Don Fortner wrote this. He says, Peter was in the immediate presence of our Savior, yet he fell. No means of grace is a means of grace without the workings of God's grace upon us and in us. The only thing that distinguishes us from the others is the distinguishing grace of our God. The only righteousness that we have is the righteousness in Jesus Christ. And the only thing that keeps us is the grace of God. Notice again in verse 61, it says, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. What a look that must have been that very day. Could it have been the same look that our Lord gave each and every one of us the first time we heard the gospel preached, and he turned our hearts to repent from the things of this world and look to him? He looked upon Peter not in anger, not in disgust, but in mercy and love and grace. It was a look of tenderness, compassion, and faithfulness. What a great and gloriously way to describe our great Savior, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. What a great and wonderful way for us to describe His love for us. His grace for us. His faithfulness to us. His forgiveness to you and I. Our Lord's righteousness is great. And His atonement is great. And His keeping us is great. And His restoration is great. And Peter would possibly have gone back to his nets that very day. And the boats, sure that he was a reprobate. Looking what I've done. Look what I have done. And I've turned from the Lord. Isn't that what Judas did? Didn't Judas go out and give the money back afterwards? And in sorrow for what he had done to the Lord God Almighty, went out and hung himself? What kept Peter from doing the same thing? He did the same thing, essentially. He did the same thing. What stopped him? God Almighty and His grace to us. That's what stops us. That's what guides us. That's what keeps us on the walk with Him. Nothing that we have done. God, help us to not put any trust in our flesh, but to put our trust in Him and Him alone. What we should learn from Peter's recovery is, for one thing, we should learn that when we fall, we have no ability to recover ourselves. It wasn't Peter who recovered himself. It was God Almighty looking down upon him and showing him mercy at that moment. Showing His compassion to the one that He has loved from before the world was, just as He shows each and every one of us. I know I've sinned. But oh, my Lord is bigger than my sin. What about yours? Is your God bigger than your sin? Oh, I'm thankful that He is mine. When Peter heard the rooster crow the first time, how alarmed he must have been. Yet he went on to even greater wickedness. Even when he had heard the second crowing, he was still unaffected. It was when the Lord turned. It was when the Lord turned and looked upon him that he was convicted of the depth of his sin. We cannot repent by our own works, by our own fleshly desires. Repentance is of God. Our Lord turns the hearts of men as He sees fit. It was the very Spirit of God that turned our dear brother hanging next to our Lord that very day at Calvary. You'll recall the one on the right railing against the Lord, doing exactly what you and I did up until the Lord when He turned us, and that man did it right up to the day he was to die. Yet our Lord turned to him in compassion and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You ever wonder why the Lord said that? You ever wondered how the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross could say to the one next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise," and then die and be put in the ground? I can tell you how. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. The body had to go into the grave. Sins had to be taken into the grave. They had to be paid for. But Christ, God in the flesh, went on to be in glory that very day. Peter's fall seems to say to all of us, we are too weak. I can fall if left to myself. Do not ever trust yourself. Trust Christ entirely. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Lean on Him consistently. Do not rely upon your great experiences or your imaginary strength or the firmness you may think you have in your faith. Didn't we just read just recently that the Lord said to Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat? That's the same with all of us, folks. We're no different. Satan wishes to have us. Satan would love to get a foothold in this church. Aren't you thankful that that God won't let him?
Yes.
Don't trust John to keep Satan out. Don't trust yourselves to keep Satan out. Trust the one who you can trust. The one who has the power. You and I got no power to fight Satan. He wishes to sift every one of us. He deceives himself, thinking that he can. So he goes about roaring as a lion. And if it were possible to even deceive the elect. Satan had desired to have you, our Lord said, but Christ alone can hold you up. He says, I have prayed for you. Christ alone can keep us. We must ever watch and pray. We must ever be diligently watching over our own souls and prayerfully seeking the Lord's preserving grace if we would live to honor His name. Do you desire to live for the honor of Christ? I do. Oh, how I wished that when I go to work every day, the people around me would see the Lord in me. But I'm reminded of this. My Lord and Savior walked the very streets of that time, performed miracle after miracle after miracle, and they still did not see Him for who He was. Oh, doesn't grace, when you see it like that, just blossom up and shine forth? Peter fell, but he did not perish. His faith weakened, but he did not die. He sinned, but he was not cast off or forsaken. He denied the Lord, but the Lord did not deny him. You see, Peter belonged to Christ, and Christ can never lose one of his own. The good shepherd can never lose one of his sheep. And Peter fell, yes, but Christ graciously raised him up. The righteous fall 7 times a day, but the Lord raises them up. That's Proverbs 24:16. How did the Lord Jesus restore His fallen servant? I see 4 things the Lord used to restore His fallen child. First, He used the work of providence. The cock crew has many ways of reaching a man's conscience. He can make asses speak as easily as prophets and roosters to crow on cue. Secondly, He used the work of grace. The Lord turned and looked on Peter. What a look that must have been. The Lord Jesus Christ turned to Peter. Peter did not turn to the Lord. He looked upon Peter, not in anger or disgust, but in mercy and love and grace. And that look was a look of tenderness, compassion, and faithfulness. With that look, the Lord spoke silently with effectuality to the heart of His fallen son. It's as though He was saying, it's all right. It's almost as though He's saying to you, Roger, right this moment, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It was as though He was saying, it's okay. You see, I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. Or maybe He was in His silent look saying this to Peter's heart. I gave unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Maybe I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Or maybe this, even I, he that blotteth out thy transgressions. It's all right, Peter. I'm going to the cross to pay for what just happened. And everything else that you might do, Peter, everything else that John might do, I'm going to the cross for you. In me, he says to Peter, your righteousness is found. Not in you, in me. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you, son of Jacob, are not consumed. Now, maybe he says one last thing in that look. Return. Return unto me. And I will pardon you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then third, he used the work of the word. Peter called to mind. He remembered God's word. Our Lord restored Peter by reminding him of what he had said. Have you been restored at any time by remembering what God has said to you in this word? Oh, isn't that a blessing when that happens? Whew. Lastly, Peter was restored by a work of our blessed advocate, our Lord and Savior, who told him even before his fall, he said to him, I have prayed for thee. As our great high priest, as our intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for Peter's preservation in faith. He prayed for the restoration by grace, even before Peter fell. That same great high priest is our advocate on high this very moment. He intercedes for you and I this very moment, right now, and he has interceded for us from eternity past. He says in 1 John 2, 1 through 2, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now we know that's not talking about the whole world as a whole people. We're talking about all of God's people throughout the whole world, throughout the whole eternity of time, until the last one is called out of that darkness, the last one of all God's children. That's the world he's talking about. Every tongue, every nation. Folks, I don't know about you, but these thoughts just thrill my heart. They flood my soul with joy. My Lord and Savior is full of tenderness and mercy. His faithfulness is great. His compassions never fail. He who is my great God, our great God, our great Savior, is faithful, unfailing, and we can trust in him. If you are a believer, if you truly trust Christ alone as your Lord and Savior, nothing shall separate you from him, not even your own sins. Our Lord says in Romans 8, 4, verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He cannot impute sin upon us if all of our sins were imputed to him and paid for at Calvary. And I'll close with this verse. No, I'm sorry, I'll close with this statement. Nothing can separate us from His mercy, love, and grace. Nothing can separate us from His tender care and saving power. That's what the words of Romans 8:35 through 39 tell us. Amen.